Greetings. It is 1:39 in the afternoon on the 9th of January in the year 2021. And I'm going to read and preach a short passage on the fourth commandment. And this one is called the Two Sabbaths of the Passover. Now, the author of it was unknown, whoever put it together, but it does run in line with my teaching on the Passover and the Sabbath day and the rising of the Lord Jesus on Saturday evening, before the evening, before the first day of the week. So in this, we're going to get two things clarified. First, that Sunday Sabbaths are unlawful. And second, that the Easter celebration is also unlawful. Both, by the way, which were invented by Rome. Anyway, here we go. Oh, by the way, this is was given to me, and I have permission from Chris Cash, who comes from the site wayofthemessiah.com. Now, most people believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Passover and arose on Sunday. However, is this what the scriptures prove? Now, in order to get the whole picture, one must piece together the information given in the Gospels, coordinating this picture with the information in the Old Testament describing what was going on during the Passover season. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ celebrated the Passover in obedience to the commandments to do so given in Leviticus 23, Exodus 12, and Numbers 28, verses 16 through 25. He began the events leading to his death by celebrating this event for which he instructed his disciples to prepare. And the disciples went out and came to the city and found that it just as he, that is the Lord Jesus, had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Mark chapter 14, verse 16. After eating the Passover meal, or seder, the Lord Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples to pray. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46, Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42, and Luke 22, verses 40 through 46. And they came to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." Mark chapter 14, verse 32. After praying, the Lord Jesus was arrested, tried, and on the cross by 9 a.m. the next day. And having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Now when morning had come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against the Lord Jesus to put him to death. And here we are, Matthew chapter 27, verse 2. And they found him and led him away and delivered him up to Pilate. It was the third hour when they crucified him. Mark chapter 15, verse 25. As it, most everyone knows, the Lord Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected. The traditional teaching says that the Lord Jesus died on Friday, the weekly Sabbath, or what the Roman Catholics call Good Friday, and arose on the following Sunday. However, the Lord Jesus himself said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. By the way, sea monster is also called whale. Is it possible to get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday? No, I don't think so. Therefore, from the Lord's own words, we can see that this teaching of Rome cannot be correct. And yet still, every church, the visible churches that profess Christianity in this country, along with Roman Catholics, chapels, parishes, they all do the same thing every year for Easter, Friday to Sunday, even though there's no way that those 2 days make 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So, therefore, exactly what did happen? Now, Leviticus 23 gives us the important and missing information, the allegedly missing information, in the tradition, or the missing information in the traditional teaching. Because we've not bothered to put the New Testament account into its Old Testament framework, we have misunderstood and misconstrued the events of the Passover season from which the Lord Jesus died and was resurrected. Therefore, to understand what happened, let's look at this missing information. Now, I'm going to read you Leviticus chapter 23, verses 5 through 8. In the first month, starting in verse 5, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, when God says a new day begins, is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have an holy convocation, and you shall do no labor. But for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no labor. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 5 through 8. This passage tells us that the Passover is on the 14th, that's Nisan 14, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins Nisan 15. They're back to back. The first day and the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a Sabbath. Now, this is a special Sabbath, also called a High Sabbath. Therefore, the Sabbath for which the Lord Jesus had to be removed from the cross was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not the weekly Shabbat or Sabbath, which is Friday evening to Saturday evening. The weekly Sabbath does not play a part in the Lord Jesus' timeline, which we will shortly see. Now, unlike the weekly Sabbath that is every Friday night to Saturday night, this special Sabbath can fall on any day of the week. Are there New Testament scriptures that give us this information about this special Sabbath? Yes, there are. Luke chapter 23, verse 52 through 54. This man, that is Joseph of Arimathea, went to Pilate and asked for the body of the Lord Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. And it was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Okay, that's Luke 23, verses 52 through 54. Also, John chapter 19, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. Okay? John 19:31. Okay? John 19:42. Therefore, on account of the Jewish day of preparation, because the tomb was nearby, they laid the Lord Jesus there. Okay? Passover is not a Sabbath. It is the day of preparation for the high Sabbath, that is the first day of the 7 day Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? And that's footnote number one, which I'll get to at the end of the message. The Lord Jesus Christ died on Passover, but was removed from the cross before sunset, which began the High Sabbath, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? Verse 7. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. On the Sabbath, no work is done. Therefore, the women could not prepare the Lord Jesus' body for burial. The Lord Jesus was removed from the cross, wrapped in linen, and placed in a tomb. Okay, Mark chapter 15, verse 46. And Joseph bought a linen cloth, took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb, which had been hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Now, because of the encroaching high Sabbath, the linen wrapping was all the time allowed to be done for the Lord Jesus. Under the law, the Torah, one could not buy or sell on a Sabbath day. As for the peoples of the land who bring wares or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or a holy day. That's Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, the women could not obtain the necessary items to properly anoint his body and bury the Lord Jesus. However, once the high Sabbath was over, the women could buy what they needed for the task. And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. Now, since there were no food processors or machinery during the first century, this was a time-consuming, laborious task. On the day after the high Sabbath, the women purchased the spices and spent the day preparing them to anoint the Lord Jesus' body. However, they were once again delayed, this time by the weekly Sabbath that started Friday evening, sunset. Verse 55, now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed after and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, early at dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And again, these verses, Luke chapter 23, verses 55 through chapter 24, verse 1. Thus far, the Lord Jesus has died, been placed in a tomb, as the high Sabbath and the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread began. The women were forced to wait for that evening and day to pass. The next morning, after the Sabbath, when the shops were open, they purchased the spices and prepared them to anoint the Lord's body. They then had to rest for the weekly Sabbath to pass. Since there were no electric lights to enable them to work at night, they waited until morning on the first day of the week, Sunday, to go to the tomb to prepare his body. When they arrived, the tomb was empty. Now, does this mean that the Lord arose on that day, or was the tomb empty because he had already risen? Now, to make all of these events fit, we can count backwards from the weekly Sabbath and figure out what evening the Lord Jesus and the disciples had the Passover meal, and what day he was crucified. And I've already given you those dates, Nisan 14, 30 A.D. That was the day he was crucified. The timeline of events would look like this. Tuesday night, Passover Seder, or meal, prayer in Gethsemane, arrested, brought before the Jews. Wednesday morning, before Pilate, on the cross by 9 a.m., dead by 3 p.m. Wednesday night, the Lord Jesus in the tomb. That's the first night. High Sabbath begins. Thursday, Jesus in the tomb. First day, High Sabbath. Thursday night, Lord Jesus in the tomb. Second night, end of High Sabbath. Friday, the Lord Jesus in the tomb. Second day, spices bought and prepared. Now remember, brothers and sisters, the order of the days as follows. The evening and the morning were the order of the days. Evening and the morning were the first day, second day, third day, on through the sixth day. Friday night. Lord Jesus in the tomb, third night. Weekly Sabbath begins. Saturday. Lord Jesus in the tomb the third day, weekly Sabbath. Saturday night, Lord Jesus not in the tomb, end of weekly Sabbath. Now, in order for the Lord Jesus' words to be fulfilled, 3 days and three nights in the earth, he could not have spent a fourth night in the tomb. Therefore, sometime before sunset and the end of Saturday, the Lord Jesus was resurrected. Now, would the Lord Jesus' resurrection on the Sabbath violate the law? Well, the Torah instructs us to do no work on the Sabbath. Could the Lord Jesus rising from the dead be considered work? Well, what did the Lord Jesus say about this? If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? Well, how much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Matthew chapter 12, verses 11 through 12. The passage refers to healing on the Sabbath. Raising from the dead to bring eternal life to the world would certainly be a greater good to do on the Sabbath, would it not? The Lord Jesus also told us, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Matthew chapter 12, verse 8. Also Mark 2:28 and Luke 6, verse 5. He is the Lord over the Sabbath, not the Sabbath Lord over him. As the Word of God, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, he was the author of the Sabbath commandment. Would the author's writing have more authority than the author himself? When the women arrived at the first opportunity to see what they had come to do, the Lord Jesus had already risen. He was gone. He did not rise on Sunday. He arose on Saturday as the Lord of the Sabbath. Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. And the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying." Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. Also Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. Mark chapter 16, verses 2 through 7. And Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. The tradition of the Lord Jesus dying on Good Friday and rising from the dead on Sunday has long been the justification of believers changing the seventh-day Sabbath that God instructed his people to keep, which before, as I've taught, the scriptures teach, because the seventh-day Sabbath is a creation ordinance that God himself observed, to Sunday as the supposed day he rose. The question begs to be asked, where in scripture does God give us permission to change the Sabbath to any day other than the day he ordained, the seventh day of the week? And I've also already gone through all of this. Go back and look on my sermon on the fourth commandment. Or teaching about the moral law. Day four. The part four. It's all right there. Nobody has permission to change it, except the Lord Jesus himself or the Father. Period. Okay? And this has to do with Easter now. But we also understand that everybody still worships Christ on Sunday, which is Rome's day, not the seventh-day Sabbath. And that does not make me a seventh-day Adventist. Okay? For those of you who want to try to escape from the truth, this is Scripture. Okay? Each reader or listener is going to just have to decide. You're going to have to decide whether you're going to keep to the traditions that you've been taught and keep breaking the fourth commandment day in and day out. Okay? Or is the Word of God going to be your authority and ultimate guide? Now, if the latter is chosen, then you have, again, a decision to make. Are you going to keep the Sabbath that God ordained and never changed, or are you going to keep Constantine's Sabbath? The choice of yours is yours. You're going to obey God or men. Okay? Am I your enemy if I tell you the truth? Now, here are the footnotes. Footnote number one, Scripture can be confusing at times because it calls this season either the Passover season and because unleavened bread is eaten from Passover throughout the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. Sometimes Scripture includes Passover into the feast of unleavened bread. Now, the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching, Luke 22, verse 1. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread, verse 3. And when he had seized him, Stephen, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending, after the Passover, to bring him out before the people. Acts chapter 12, verses 3 through 4. Okay, and again, Matthew chapter 27, 45 and 46, Mark 15, verses 33 and 34, Luke verse, chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. And again, That was the second footnote. I didn't catch that. You might want to. It'll be here in the PDF for you to peruse for yourself. And I strongly suggest you do peruse it again. I mean, don't take my word for it, even though I've already proved it. Now, here, another has proved it again and again and again. Now, don't come to me like some others have done and say, well, the Puritans didn't change, and the Princeton theologians didn't change, and James White and Paul Washer and all these other guys that we love and admire and all that, they didn't change. John MacArthur, Sproul when he was alive. None of them ever changed it. None of them ever said a word about it. Well, I'm telling you a word about it. Okay? The scriptures don't lie. So, you have a dilemma. Either the Bible's wrong or the men who are the hirelings are wrong. And I leave it to you. Again, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless and preserve you all. Amen.